Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we're focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Everybody, welcome back to the Drive On podcast. Today, my guest is Jody Wellman. Jody is the founder of 4000 Mondays, and she created that as a way to help others not take life for granted or feel like they've squandered their time and to feel totally alive. And she's also an assistant instructor in the Master of Applied Positive Psychology program at the University of Pennsylvania. And she's here to discuss how we can make the most of the Mondays that we all have left. So welcome to the show, Jody. I'm glad to have you here.
Oh, thank you very much, Scott. It's a pleasure to be chatting with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Hey, well, I'm happy to. So I spent the first 17 years of my career in kind of the typical corporate setting, and I was ready to stab myself in the face by the end of it, but I didn't know what to do. Have you ever been there, right? Where you're, you know, you just know you're not happy with what you're doing, but you don't have a great destination to get to. And that can be incredibly troubling. And so I ended up working with a coach and figured out that I was going to get into leadership coaching and development. And so that was about 9 years ago. And it has been such a great ride working with leaders and teams. And I, as I say, like normal people too. But what happened is in the last 4 years, I've taken a switcheroo and I've really committed to my brand called 4000 Mondays, which, by the way, spoiler alert, is that we roughly get 4000 weeks to live and hopefully more, but you never know. And the idea is, how do we make the most of it? And so in these last 4 years, I've really, doubled down on that philosophy and that brand. And the more work I do around speaking in keynotes and working in workshops and working with people around this idea of time's ticking, like, let's live like we mean it, that has become more of my emphasis, which has just been delightful, again, to kind of do the work that you feel really lit up to do.
Yeah, I love that mindset that the clock is ticking. We only have so much time. There's only so many more days available, or weeks in this case, I guess, if we're talking the 4000 Mondays, right? There's only so much time available for all of us. And why not make the most of the time that we have left, right? And I'm imagining that's kind of the gist behind all of this, is that you're looking to just really optimize whatever time we have left, whether it's two more Mondays or 2000 more Mondays, whatever the time happens to be, right?
That's so such a good way of putting it about optimizing our time, because I think it highlights most of us, you know, we want to do that, but we're busy and we have got a ton, you know, there's just a ton of priorities that are competing. And sometimes we kind of, to be honest, like take our eye off the wheel and we end up getting, as I like to think of it, well, I don't like to think of it, but it's true. We get stuck in autopilot and we become these really highly functioning zombies, where we just start sort of succumbing to the routine and the habit. And nobody intends on this happening. But I don't know about you. Have you ever figured, like, you got to the end of a month and you're like, what happened to the month? Like, what did I, what, or even like this, the seasons, you know, units of time are very useful. That's how we think of things as humans usually. What did I do this summer? You know, or what did I, like the year, like, did I, what did I even do this year? And COVID, we all get a free pass, right? COVID just sucked the life out of us. Let's just like forget those, that time. But now that we're able to emerge again, it's like, oh, we have to learn how to live again. And I think that this is where I want us to feel no shame. I mean, I am the biggest homebody ever, and I will absolutely live a very bee-like lifestyle in a hurry. But you have to actively flick the switch back to on, not autopilot, but I don't know, real pilot, to really embrace life. Do you find that you get into autopilot?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I've had days where, not days, but I've had those groups of time, seasons, months, whatever, where it feels like you're just doing the same thing day after day after day. And it's just in this rinse and repeat cycle of everything that you're doing in life is just kind of on autopilot. You wake up in the morning, you eat breakfast, you go exercise, you go to work, all these things you just do. And it's just like a very structured routine.
Yeah.
And I wonder how many of us have ever thought of things like this, where we say to ourselves, at the end of my life, will I be able to say that I lived 80 years or however many years that we ended up having, or did I live 1 year 80 times? Where we just go on repeat over and over and over again. And so that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, is because I like this idea of really making the most of what we have available to us. Because if you're doing that just 1 year after another, it's just the same thing. You go to the same place on vacation every summer. You go visit the same relatives for Christmas. You go do the same thing every single year. You're just stuck in that pattern, right? So how do we make the most of all this?
Oh, yeah. I just love what you're saying. The rinse and repeat stuff, the idea that, like, on one hand, there is, of course, something to be said for a little bit of ritual. And there are some sweet things that come from, oh, this is what we do on Christmas morning or to celebrate Hanukkah or whatever you celebrate, right? Sometimes rituals can be special, all for them. But where I think that this can sometimes push the envelope for some people is that I want people to interrogate their routines and their habits, because it is that slumbering sort of existence we get into, like you described. You wake up, you eat the breakfast, you do the work, you do the, and you know, a lot of these things are good, healthy things that keep the tracks, like we want to keep things moving. And I'm not advocating that we have these really fantastically sparkly, crazy, amazing days every day, because, oh, that's exhausting. What I am thinking is stop and interrogate your habits and say, what am I doing that is actually dulling the edges? What are the things I'm doing that are just on the zone out that I could actually spark and spice up? Like, what? And I'm a fan of picking one thing at a time, because anything more than that, I don't know, it's just not sustainable. We got too much on the go. What if it was picking one thing, right? Like, what if it was picking breakfast or the workout? What if it meant shaking it up? And I don't know about you, but I've recently become interested in this notion of, like, the vacation lifestyle. Most of us long to be on a vacation, and yet most of us, you know, unfortunately, we leave a lot of vacation days on the table, at least in the US culture, and which is just so sad. And but yeah, you know, we live for vacations. And so what we're doing is really postponing our existence until we go on vacation for a week, and then, or until we retire. But when you do the vacation, what's the stuff you love? I don't know about you, but on vacation, I love the idea of going out for breakfast. Like, there's nothing better than an amazing omelet at a restaurant. I don't know. And yet, in the life that we live day to day, like, we're not making an omelet most Tuesday mornings, right? But what about shaking up the routine to say, honey, do you want to go tomorrow morning at like 7 a.m. to go for an omelet to that diner down the street? Do you want to go and, like, what? Like, is that's going to blow your mind of your routine for the day? And I know that this is, it sounds silly. It sounds subtle. Oh, I'm the first to admit it. But those are little things. When those things add up over the span of a month, and if you do maybe four kind of quirky, different, just change your routine, different stuff, switch your workout. If you normally do the same thing or the same two alternating workouts, try restorative yoga or go try a kickboxing class or go, you know, do something different that you create this sensory experience in very different ways of being alive. That is what wakes you up to the, that's what wakes you up to living. And that actually increases your feeling of aliveness.
Yeah. And when you do things like even just changing up your exercise routine or going out to breakfast when you normally just have coffee and a bagel at home or something like that, when you change that up, think about a month ago or 6 months ago. Pick a date, any date back that far.
Yeah.
What did you do for breakfast on that date? You're not going to remember that, right? But when you go and do something that's a little bit outside of the norm, going out to eat for breakfast, you're going to remember that 6 months from now. You're going to remember that a year from now. And so, you know, if you're doing that with people who you enjoy being around, a spouse, a family member, other friends, other people like that, you're creating these memories, and it just creates a more fulfilling life, I would think, going, you know, down the line, as you're looking back on life and you're thinking to yourself, what did I do with all of this time that I had available to me?
Yeah.
You want to fill that with some of those fun things. So going out to breakfast is not going to be fun to everybody. They're not going to enjoy that the same way that you do. And that's fine. But there's something else that that person will enjoy, that they can go and do and discover just how enjoyable that is to just go out and spontaneously do something like that every once in a while. It doesn't have to be an everyday thing, like you said, because that you're right. That would be exhausting.
It's exhausting. And like you said, the reason it stands out and we remember it is because it's different. And so we can't logically, and we can't even, it defeats the purpose of this if every single day we shake everything up, because then it's just a total whirlwind and it's not special because it's different. But I think we alternate what is special. And you're so right that it is totally relative to each and every one of us. Like your version of an amazing thing to shake up in a day might be just totally a turn off to your next door neighbor, but that doesn't matter because, you know, to each their own, but what might that be? And, you know, there's this, some of the research I do is I ask people where they fall across a couple spectrums. And so one is around vitality, which is where I look at that. Like we widen our lives by adding in more vitality. And that is the fun and the pleasure and the experiences. And I say that we deepen our lives by adding in more meaning. And that's that sense of purpose we might have and that connection to others and, you know, connecting to something bigger than us, et cetera, et cetera. And the research consistently shows, this is pre-COVID, during COVID, after COVID, all around COVID, doesn't matter. More of us, so 41%, the majority, are in a category called meaningfully bored, which means that they're okay-ish on meaning, but where they know they're missing is on vitality. So they know that they want a little more of that, you know, like joie de vivre, like a little more excitement or a little more of something new and different or some kind of a road trip or take me on an adventure, something that feels, you know, those are the things we often associate with feeling alive. Like, you know, whether like going out for a walk in the rain or staying up past midnight, oh my goodness, or trying a totally different type of Thai food for dinner or all the, you know, going to Vienna, like the things that we put off, we put off, we put off. We want more of that.
Right. And, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on this podcast is because I've heard from so many different veterans that when they get out of the military, they find themselves isolated.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's their personality. They get out into the world and they don't like the people that they're around and they just want to just be a hermit and trap themselves away in their own home and not be interacting with other people, or they definitely aren't making the most of their lives when they're doing things like this. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are the people who I kind of want to talk about now is, mm-hmm. you know, what can we do to kind of kick them out of this funk and get them back out into the world and experiencing things and enjoying life as opposed to just existing?
Existing. Yeah. That's such a good way to put it. It's sad and it's true. And so I work with, through clients and or through friendships, a lot of veterans and or people in other situations that have found themselves in, you know, what I will call, according to these quadrants that exist when you take a y-axis and an x-axis, and there you have four, like a version of the dead zone, right? Feeling a little bit like I'm kind of lacking on meaning and I'm lacking on vitality, or even they may feel that there is some meaning, right? Because there's an enormous amount of purpose that I think comes from serving the country. And that can be a residual feeling of meaning that will overspill, which is fabulous. But that lacking in the engaging in life, the feeling of I'm not really participating. I quite frankly don't want to get up and out, but I kind of know I feel like I know I could or should. And so this is the conundrum of inertia. And we know this, but it is also the experience of that lack of engagement will compound. And in my experience and in research, it's that oftentimes we need to, number one, what I call diagnose the dead zones. So identify the number one domain in life that is feeling particularly flatlined. And a domain, what I mean by that is it could be like friendships. It could be your health. It could be your sense of fun and recreation. It could be your love life. It could be your sense of spirituality. Your physical environment, like literally the space around you that you live in, and family life, et cetera. And for most of us, some of us feel like, it's all crap, depending on the day. But let's just pick a veteran returning back home and feeling that sense of social isolation and not like a lack of desire to even get engaged again. And what I notice is if diagnosing the first thing is, yeah, you know what? I feel like it's the social thing feels funny to me because I don't want to do it, but I kind of deep down know I need it. And I'm going to quote actually one of the founders of the School of Positive Psychology, which is a branch that's 20 years old in psychology, which is the scientific study of what makes life worth living. This is my area of expertise. Chris Peterson's one of the founders of the field. And upwards of 20 years ago, he said this quote that I find profound. And it was, there may be no happy hermits. Because you said the word hermit a minute ago. And yeah. I'm an introvert. You know, there's nothing better to me than like a quiet night at home with the husband and the cat. Like, that's good. And I have to actively schedule and plan social interactions that, funny enough, every time I come home from a social interaction, 9 times out of 10, it's not often, but when I do, I come home and I feel like that was good. I don't know why I dread these things. That was kind of fun. And so that actually is the exercise, is looking at the calendar and identifying if, for example, the social part is something that's lacking, it's to say, how can I look at my month, this freaking 30-day calendar? How do I stop and say, what are one or two things I could do in this month that in some way make me feel connected? And it's actually prescriptive. And I always say that I resent this, but we all want to live the feeling of like having an astonishing life, just feeling really good about the life we live, right? Whatever that looks like, again, relative to each of our needs and wants. But unfortunately, they don't happen to us. We have to make the effort. We have to, and this is unglamorous, but we have to think about what might that look like. And then we have to actually plan it and schedule it into the calendar, or else we've got good intentions that just wash away with every month that just literally ticks away. And so it's scheduling it. Okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to hang out with the guys on Friday the 21st. Okay, it's booked. All right, I can be a hermit until then. But then when I do that, that's going to help me feel engaged again. And so it's a literal decision point of, do I think I want to have more engagement? Even if I don't really want it, do I need it? And then plan, and then literally scheduling it in. Fine, we're going to do a road trip on this date. Okay, I'm going to have a Zoom reunion with the guys from my unit on this day. Like whatever that might be, but scheduling. It sounds ridiculously simple, but it's a step that we often overlook. And that's the secret to a life that feels full.
Right. And so when you start doing these things and you put it on the schedule, sometimes you got to push yourself out of your comfort zone because like you, I'm the same way. I'm pretty much an introvert too, despite the fact that I have this podcast. I talk to people every so often on the podcast. Big social interactions, like going to concert or like that to me is just like, nope, I'm good. Like it's too much, but you kind of need to push yourself out of the comfort zone because if you never go and do it, you're never going to do it. And you'll never have those experiences either. Yeah. Right. And so I think once when you start doing those things that are not comfortable right now, mm-hmm. they'll start to become a little bit more comfortable. And then you'll maybe even get to a point where you'll want to do it more and more.
You have just hit the nail on the head. It's a little bit like strengthening a muscle or whatever the metaphor we can use, greasing the skids. Like it does become easier and become, now provided that we find some value in it. And I feel the same way. So it can be the same with, so social activities is huge. Another whole category that I think is ripe for the picking is around like getting interested in hobbies again. Remember those things we had as kids? Like, I remember you used to go and play soccer on whatever night. The opportunities, we have to be, again, more planful as adults because it's just not as easy. Unless, for example, there's a client I'm working with where he's like, I want to get back into the trombone. And he blew the dust off his old instrument and started playing again. Fine. Hey, whatever floats your boat. For many adults, it means registering for a class or engaging in something that's like, I need the structure. So, okay, I'm going to go and there's an 8-week learn how to do pottery thing. Or there's an improv thing, which is like a 2-session, 2 Saturdays in a row that might be kind of cool. Or, wow, I could go and do this, learn how to run a half marathon thing, which, let's be honest, there's a side effect to some of those things, which is a nice thing, which is sometimes they are social and you can end up kind of chumming with, you know, the person next to you at the pottery wheel or whatever in the running group. That's good. But oftentimes it's just a matter of getting your brain switched into something which psychologists call flow. which is that state of absorption, you know, which is magical. And it's when we're just swept off our feet by being in the zone. And we're just, you know how, like for some of you, it might be rock climbing or running or painting, or is there an activity, by the way, that you do that you just feel like, when I do this, I lose track of time. I'm swept up in it. I love it. And I just, all of a sudden I'm like,
There are definitely things like that. I do painting where I sat down one weekend in our house. I started painting and hours have went by, and it was right around lunchtime. Maybe I sat down, hours went by, and my wife came over and was like, dinner's just about ready now. And I'm like, where the hell did the afternoon go? Because like, I didn't even realize all this time had gone by, and I just kind of got lost in it. And it was interesting that you brought this up the way you did, because there was another time, separate instance, where I was actually doing some painting with my kids. And afterwards, my wife came up to me and said, you know, you seemed like you were really happy while you're doing that. And I was like, yeah, I was. And it was kind of like a strange feeling, because I had just never really dove in and done that kind of stuff, you know, and it was interesting.
Oh, okay. That anecdote is everything, because that to me is like our job in life, you know, like we have to make our way through, you know, and then we think, well, let's make our way through and actually enjoy it. And then we go, well, how do we do that? What's like your operating manual? You are now super clear that painting is one of probably several things that delight you. And then the answer, of course, is this is the answer to the test, guys. It's like, how do you arrange your life so that you just get to do that more? And for many of us, it means trying to find that thing. So people listening right now to you might be like, oh, dude, like, I wish, like, what's my thing? What's the thing I get lost in? And I say, hey, let's ratchet down the pressure and just be like, let's just try a bunch of stuff, because passion and interest in those types of things, sometimes you just got to sample some stuff, you know, like I thought I was going to love archery. I took like 5 archery lessons, didn't love archery. That's okay. What's next? To keep trying it. Like if there's an interest that might be kind of cool, we just owe it to ourselves to give it a shot. Not just once, maybe twice, and then see if it catches fire. And we want it to catch fire. And if it does, then that's great. And then just how do you organize your life to paint a little more often, right? Like that to me, again, is like back to the schedule. How do you make it happen?
Right. And I think that's one of those things where it needs to be something that I do intentionally put on the schedule and say, okay, today I'm going to sit down and I'm going to, you know, take an hour or two or whatever the time period is and just paint, you know, set a timer and let it go off. If I have something else that I need to do, then okay, set the timer. It'll go off and I'm done and I move on.
Yes.
And that way it's not like I'm totally blowing a whole day on that where I should be taking care of other responsibilities, right? Like I have a job, I need to work at some point. So there are other things that I have to do. This is something that I might want to do. And yeah, I think I just would need to schedule that into the calendar. You know, I live and die by my calendar. If it's not on the calendar, it's not going to happen.
Totally. Yep. And you have an idea that's like, this will be really, I would love to do this, to get to do more of it. And that good intention is, dare I say, pointless unless it actually transitions into the schedule. And that sounds like what you're willing, like you said, I'm going to make it more intentional. Why not sprinkle our lives with more of the stuff that we know we like, right? Like these are just simple hacks that we're trying to find and ways to make our ways through some tough days. And so I actually work with people. I say, write down a list of 30 things that make you happy. And the caveat is that 25 of them have to be totally doable without, you can't say, for example, oh, I love going on cruises in the Mediterranean. Okay, well, thank you. But what about something you could maybe do this week? You know what I mean?
Right.
Simple stuff. Some clients have said, okay, I love watching like little animal videos on YouTube, or going for just a quick walk around the lake with my dog, or sitting and stretching and just stretching out my hips, or you know, making an amazing dinner that I've never tried before with saffron or whatever it is. Then it's just a matter of you just kind of go, well, if this is the stuff that really delights me and it's silly, sweet, simple stuff, how do you just find it, like peg it in? How do you say like I love browsing through bookstores. And for my husband, that's the idea of like a slow, torturous death. And so I need to not do it with him. I just need to say, well, And I honestly, I'm saying this right now. I don't remember the last time I browsed through a bookstore. And that to me now feels like an opportunity. I just have to find a way to do that. Because if I know it makes me really happy to do, why would you not? Like, why would we not do these things? We just have to identify what they are. Because usually we're not that clear on what those things even are. Sitting down and writing out 30 things that might kind of make you happy is actually harder than you think. But
I think the biggest thing is identifying some of those activities or that would make you happy. And that list of things is going to be different for everybody. Nobody's going to have the exact same list. Yeah, maybe you're going to have a few people, depending on how long the list that have a few similar things on it. But most people's lists are going to be somewhat different.
Yeah.
And it's really just identifying those things and then making those things a priority so that you can actually experience those the things that make you happy and feel like you're living a fulfilled life, right? And that's, I think, the gist of this whole conversation, right?
Right. Well, you just made me remember there, you know, I don't want to gloss over this because it sounds simple. And yet I actually admit that a lot of clients that I will work with, if they're looking to kind of spice life up and live more fully, whether it's wide or deep or both, whatever. I have to be honest, when I quote unquote, you know, assign that task of the 30 things or whatever, however many, it can actually cause more anxiety in people because it can actually trigger for us that feeling of, oh man, like, first of all, nothing makes me happy. And then what's wrong with me that I don't even know what makes me happy? And then, oh my God, like it causes this sort of catastrophizing thing. And I would just say, you know what? Pause for a sec. There's another exercise, which is known as like positive mental time travel. And I think it's an easier way to kind of cheat this one. And it's to go like, think of a time in your life when things were feeling really great. You were feeling great. You were feeling alive. Things were happy. It doesn't matter when it was, what era, what was going on. And if you stop and kind of forensically analyze, like, you know what? I was working out back then. I felt strong. Like I felt really kind of energetic and I don't know, I had some like definition in my arms or something, or, you know, I was hanging out with my friend, those guys that I no longer hang out with anymore. And maybe I could rekindle that. Or maybe it's that I was painting all the time back then, or it was that I was learning, like I was in college and I was absorbing knowledge and I was like drinking from the fire hose of life. And it was amazing. And like, okay, all we have to do is just pick apart these clues. Like, what made you feel really awesome and alive then? And then what about replicating part of it? And maybe it means trying that workout kind of thing again, or maybe it means rekindling those friendships or going back to the paint class or trying whatever, you know, like let's not reinvent the wheel, go back to the stuff that you did find pretty great and see if that makes you feel alive again.
Yeah. That's, I think, a great way to look at it. And according to the calculator on your website, which, by the way, your website is absolutely hilarious for anyone who is looking to go find out more about what we're talking about today, go to 4000mondays.com. It's 4000 spelled out, not the numbers, 4000mondays.com. To me, it's absolutely hilarious. It's not too in your face, but if you pay attention to the little things in the graphics, you'll find the little bit of humor in there. And I know a lot of people in the military and veterans especially appreciate some dark humor. And there's some of that here. Because what we're talking about when you think about this whole conversation, we're talking about how to optimize the rest of our life between now and that finish line. Whatever that finish line may be, it's going to be different for all of us. According to your website, I have about 2,034 Mondays left.
So
I've used up, I'm almost at that halfway point of my allotted Mondays, right? And so this realization, to me, makes me think, okay, what have I done so far in my life, this first half of the game, if you will? What have I done in the first half? And how do I make the second half even better? And what can I do to make that better, you know, for myself, for my family, for other people? You know, what can we do? And how is this going to change my outlook on life going forward, right?
Oh, my gosh. I'm eating up every word you're saying. And because that... Okay, I'm really glad. Like, that's the intention of the calculator, is to motivate us, not to make us feel like, wah, wah, like, you know, we already know, like, our time is limited. This ain't news to anybody. But the intention, and it's based in this, whatever, if anyone cares, the scientific idea called temporal scarcity, that when we are really super in tune with the fact that something that we value is rare, or it's like a limited time only situation that should and could spark this feeling of, oh my gosh, I want to make the best use of it now. And the way you put it, I haven't really heard it that way before. It's like, because you are in and around equal halves, hopefully your second half does go longer. My grandma lived for 5,300 Mondays. So that's pretty rocking.
There you go.
But it's this thing of intention, like you're getting back to. It's like, how, what do I want to do to be deliberate to make this remaining time as sounds to me like wide and deep as possible? And that's magical. I mean, that's the whole point here.
Right. And so after coming to this realization that there is a finish line, I mean, we all knew it, but it's not something we really think about all the time. We don't think about when am I going to die. We don't think that way all the time, but we all have that end date, the expiration date, if you will. So what would you suggest that we do to just get started? Is it just as simple as what we were talking about before? Just make that list and just start tackling that list? Is that really as easy as it is?
Well, there are so many options. And yes, what we've talked about so far absolutely are really great tactics. So like identifying what makes you happy and finding a way to whittle that into the schedule. One of the other things that I think can be useful, and it's just based on the weirdness of us humans, how we are psychologically, is this, it's this concept called prospect theory. And it's that we're more motivated by what we have to lose than what we have to gain of equal value. Okay, so put differently, we tend to be more motivated by doing this exercise about imagining if you were on your deathbed, what you might regret, rather than just simply stopping and saying, what would make my life amazing? Okay, just that's just the way we are. So let's do this. Like imagine that it's the unfortunate hour. You are on the deathbed and you are reflecting back and you're thinking about all that time, all those amazing. And so for you would be like, what was that? 1,012. I forget how many Mondays that you've already lived. Well, that's more than that, but let's not get hung up on the math.
Yeah. Somewhere around 2000, in that ballpark. Let's go with that.
So when you think about all the time, all the experiences, the ups and the downs, is there anything that gives you that little tiny twinkle of regret? And usually, just to be clear, our regrets are more often felt about the things that we didn't do in life, the regrets of omission rather than regrets of commission. So it's more about the missed chances and opportunities. Is there anything that if you did pass away tonight that you would think, damn it, I didn't do XYZ? Is there anything that comes to your mind?
Man, I'm on the spot here. Yeah, you know, off the top of my head, that's a tricky one to come up with, but I'm sure there are some things. Right now, I'm not really coming up with anything, but I can see how what you're saying makes sense, because there have been times in life where I've done things that it was that, like people say, the fear of missing out. Or FOMO, like, I don't want to regret not doing this thing, going on this trip, or meeting up with these people, or going to this concert. I did those things because I didn't want to regret not doing it. Yeah. May not have been top priority right then and there, but knowing that a year from now, 10 years from now, I'd look back and be like, man, I really wish I did that. That was the motivation that got me off the couch to go and do that thing, right?
Okay, can I ask you, this is so cool. When you would go to the thing, the trip, the concert, the whatever, how did you feel when it was over and you were coming home? Did you ever wish you hadn't gone, or were you glad you did go? What?
No, I can't imagine any of those situations were ever a time where I was like, oh man, that was a mistake. Yeah. You know,
okay.
It always worked out where I was like, you know what? That was good. I enjoyed it.
Well, I'll be honest. I'm really glad that's your answer, because it really helps bolster the point that we do sometimes need to be a little more aggressive with the getting down to the business of living. And so I like the way you're talking about this. You make a choice to engage in something so you won't regret it later, because it is true. Research is clear that when people get near the end of their lives, so hospice patients typically regret not participating in their life a little more. Research also shows that people who have not, quote unquote, fully participated in their life, they actually have more anxiety about death. And so the reverse is true, that if they have, when you get to the end, and they say that people near the end, when they have a feeling of, man, I lived this life. I'm dying empty. I've done the things I want to do. Yeah, maybe not everything. I didn't get to every corner of the world, but I did so many great things. They tend to be so much more at peace with the mm-hmm. process that's about to unfold, which is the, you know, last rite of passage, death, than those who feel that angst of, I didn't get to do those things. I didn't write the book, or I didn't go on that traveling trip, that thing with my buddies, that, or I didn't make up with my brother, or I didn't embark, I didn't start that business, or all the, you know, some of the things we long to do. Sure. This is an exercise that can be valuable, because a lot of our regrets, if these are things that we are contemplating that we haven't taken action on, and you think you might feel something funny about it on your deathbed, well, bingo, now's your chance to course correct that regret in the making. Because right. now's the chance. For example, if it was, I've always really wanted to write that book or my memoir, or I've wanted to learn how to play the piano or learn how to speak Spanish. Like, these are even just, you know, simple, fun things in life, but it could be, they could be deeper and more meaningful things. Like, I always really wanted to get involved in my community and work at a volunteer over at the shelter. You can do it, right? So like, this is the cool part, is that it's not too late. This is the kind of thing you can take action on. And it just requires one simple step that will make you feel fabulous today. And so, for example, if it is that I want to inquire, I do want to do the volunteer thing, it means after you listen to this podcast and it's over, you go Google, you get a phone number, or you get an email, and you inquire. You just simply whip off a, hey, I'm curious to find out what it takes to volunteer on Sunday mornings. Boom. You know what's going to happen? Your perceived life satisfaction will soar because you did that. Or maybe it's texting a friend that you're like, dude, it's been so many years. I've been thinking about you. Do you want to get together maybe for beers? Like, what's going on? Or maybe it is about going online and registering for that massive open online course. You know, tons of amazing universities have free open online courses now. Register for whatever the thing is you want to learn about, thermodynamics, or I don't even know what else. Like, do, like, just go and do it. Just do one, take one step in that direction. And that is the feeling. There was a buoyancy associated with, oh, I've made a commitment to living a little more fully. And maybe that class hasn't started yet, but damn it, I'm doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that initial step that I'm doing it because you registered for the class or you started whatever it is that you're doing, even just texting a friend to meet up for beers next week or a month from now or whenever it is,
yep.
You've done that thing. And now that just triggers something in you that's like, okay, I'm doing something. Now yes. Now I'm actually making a change. Totally. In the direction that I want to move in. And yeah. That's, I guess that's really all what it's all about here is we're trying to just add more to our lives. And I know a lot of the listeners are going to be able to relate to this. Having lost people, serving overseas, it's just the nature of combat and war. It sucks. It's terrible that good people are taken too soon. But when you think about those people, you think, their number of Mondays was drastically shorter than any of ours, unfortunately. They didn't get to live the full 4,000 plus Mondays that each of us on average tend to get. And you start thinking about that, like, if you're going to just sit there on your ass at home doing nothing with your life, mm-hmm. like, how much of a slap in the face is it to that person who sacrifice themselves to give you that next however many more Mondays you get
wow.
in your life, you know? And that's the way I think of it is, you know, I lost my brother in Afghanistan, and I feel like if I'm just going to sit around wasting away, then his sacrifice, as far as I'm concerned, was for nothing. And that's not okay with me. And so I feel like I owe it to him to live a life that's worth living, that I can look back on. And at the end of the day, I could say, yeah, you know what? I'm proud of all the things that I've accomplished and was able to experience.
You just blew my mind. That is so profound. You took memento mori, which is a lot of, this is the work we're talking about. It's the old Latin phrase that means remember, we must die. You've just taken it to a totally different level, a meaningful one. And do you hear that from other veterans, by the way, that there's almost a sense of duty to live life because they couldn't, the fallen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And especially when it comes to volunteering and other kind of service that you might do, whether it's with a nonprofit or just helping out at a veterans hospital, doing something that gives a sense of meaning to the loss that we've experienced. Mm-hmm. And it helps us kind of wrap our heads around it a little bit, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fascinating. There's, you know, a ton of work. I don't study a lot about grief or bereavement per se, but I do know just from the work that I do in this field of death that there is a bit of a transition that can happen after a grieving period occurs, or it's intertwined. It doesn't need to be in stages. I know it's not super linear, but where there is that wake up call that can occur vicariously, right? So maybe, you know, you or some of your comrades may have had experiences where your life was on the line, and that's traditional kind of quote unquote, oh, you know, brush with death, where it's, wow, I live to tell the tale. And now I see how precious life is. I'm going to do this life justice. So that's like, that's garden variety, awesome, crappy scenario that gets you though to live with intention, right? What you're describing also, the second scenario is having a brother die, having a friend, having anybody that you know and care about pass away, and have that be a motivator is a more poignant branch of what we're talking about. And I think it's beautiful. Thanks.
Yeah, for sure. And I hope that some of the stuff that we've talked about today will register with some of the listeners who might find themselves stuck in that rut where they know there's life to be lived. They know there's stuff to be done. It's just that they're stuck and they feel like they don't know what to do, what that next step is. And that's, I think, really the reason why I wanted to have you on this podcast is to talk about this, to help get people and get them out and give them a kick in the pants to get them out and do the things that will make them live a life that's worth living. And so I do appreciate you taking the time to come on. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today. I love this conversation. I love the topic. I want to give you the opportunity. I know we mentioned the website, but if you want to talk a little bit about that and anywhere else that people can go to get in touch with you and find out more about how many more Mondays that they have left in their lives.
Well, thanks for that opportunity. And it's just been a total pleasure chatting with you. You've given me so much fodder for future conversation and blog posts. I'm already taking notes about things that I want to explore more. This is great. And I can be found, you've already said it, at 4000mondays.com. And so there are some resources there, free downloads of things, the calculator if you don't want to do the complicated math. And yeah, if anyone wants to reach out just to chat. But yeah, 4000mondays.com. And thank you for this chance to chat.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Son, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.